Good evening, Avosai. Good evening. First, the slichas, I always remember, there's sometimes words of a teacher that you can't forget. I was a bacha in my yeshiva, and Meir v'Rebbe, Rabbi Vom Tzvi Halevi Shmulevitz, was an gesunden stark. I was zoche to learn by him many years, 5 years, I think, I learned with him. It was basically one-to-one support. And I was learning from Mamsha a whole cycle in my yeshiva. And I remember that first year I would learn with him. First day slichas. We started speaking about slichas. And then I told him that I said slichas in yeshiva. And they looked at me, and Rabbi Shmulevitz looks at me and he says, "You said slichas?" So you don't say slichas. Membet slichas, you ask slichas, you don't say slichas. And I remember this was something which struck me so much because where did you say slichas? How was you saying? You don't say slichas, you ask slichas. Sometimes these one-liners sometimes stay in your mind. Shu b'zeichet to have a ksivach sima toive. We are up to sima lamet ches, if ches. A very important concept, a very important topic. About oisik b'mitzvah potter ben ha-mitzvah, which of course we know is a universal concept which comes in the Gemara in Sukkah, but of course we know it from many areas of halacha. Oisik b'mitzvah, somebody is busy with a mitzvah, potter ben ha-mitzvah is exempt from the mitzvah. There's so many questions and relating topics on this theme of oisik b'mitzvah. This is one of the main sources. Zif Ches is one of the main sources which brought down Shulchan Aruch. So I'd like to go over it again, and we left off with the question, which we'd like to answer in Shem today, the Bi'alocha. But before we do so, let us recap a little bit the Seif Ches. I'd like to learn with the Ramah, which hopefully is going to answer some of the questions in the first place, and then we'll be able to address Mishneh Berurah as well as the Bi'alocha in Mi'atzah Hashem. Seif Ches. Kois fei tefillin u mezuzos. Soferim who write tefillin and mezuzos. Heim, the writers himself, the sofer himself. Vetagreyem, the people who buy it off the soferim and they sell it on to retailers. Vetagreyem, the retailers. Vecholo oiskim, and anybody who is busy with melech Hashemayim, with the work of Hashem, he's doing service of Hashem. Pturim, they are potur. So the soferim and the tagreyem and the tagreyem, they're all exempt. Manochas tefillin, they're exempt from putting on tefillin. Kol hayom, the entire day. Zulas, excluding b'shas ki hashma tefillin, but they do need to put on the tefillin during Kriyat Shema and tefillah. Continues the Ramah, and he adds the following. V'im hayu tzrichim la'asos melachton, and if they actually needed to do their melacha, for some technical or practical reasons, they needed to do their melacha of writing the Sefer Torah, b'sha'as Kriyat Shema u'tefillah, somebody says urgently, I need the Sefer Torah, and I need it now, and I need the mezuzah, and I need it now, and it's just in the middle of the time of Shema, we'll see greater detail in Mishneh Berurah. But the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, potur b'mitzvah will apply with regards to Shema and Tefillah as well. And therefore, Oz Pturim Mekiyah Shema Tefillah Tefillim. Rabbi Feingold, this very much addresses the point that you mentioned on Thursday, just to get 100% clear. The concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, potur b'mitzvah will actually also apply if somebody is about to say Shema Tefillah. But he's actually now writing a Sefer Torah. Yes, it will override Shema and Tefillah. And yes, it will override as well putting on Tefillin. Because he's now busy writing a Sefer Torah. He's busy writing a Tefillin. He's busy writing a Mezuzah. Or he's sick by Mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. So it actually goes that far and it exempts him from anything. Oz pturim mekina Shema Tefillin. And he explains the kola oisik ba mitzvah, whoever is busy with a mitzvah, potu is exempt mitzvah acharis from another mitzvah, if tzorich litroyach acharis, if he has to chase, as it were, the other mitzvah, if he has to work towards the other mitzvah, avalim yochoil, but if he's able, lasos to do shteyem, both mitzvahs ka'achas, if he's able, if they don't contradict one another, if he's able to do both mitzvahs, below Torah, without a big deal, yaseh shteyem, he should do both mitzvahs. So the first and most important rule with regards to oisik b'mitzvah, potur min ha-mitzvah is, that very last one that is mentioned in the Ramah. The rule of Oisek Bar Mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah only applies if it's one or the other. If you can only do one, if by doing one mitzvah you're not going to do the other mitzvah, then we say Oisek Bar Mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah. But if you are a very extreme case, which is not very precise, but you're wearing tzitzis, you're not going to say, because I'm wearing tzitzis now, I don't have to put on tefillin, or I don't have to make a bracha, or I don't have to, whatever the example, maybe it's not very precise, the example, I'm just to, we don't say, Oisik bar mitzvah, potan mitzvah. Why not? You're fulfilling a mitzvah by wearing tzitzis. Why don't you say Oisik mitzvah, potan mitzvah? The answer is, because it's not contradicting one another. Whilst you're wearing tzitzis, you can fulfill other mitzvahs. It's not contradicting, as it were. It's not clashing. You can do both mitzvahs. If you can do both mitzvahs, then the rule of Oisik bar mitzvah, potan mitzvah will not apply. Yes. Very good, you're quite right. Yes. Yes. So this is the concept of mitzvah potter mitzvah. But of course the very important point that we need to address, and we started speaking about this last previous year, is the question, I understand maybe how would you put the question? There's a few ways of phrasing a question about how would you ask?
Sofer's doing a mitzvah.
Right.
The Tager and the Tager Tereham, you know, they're singing a shot. What are they doing? What's the mitzvah?
What's the mitzvah about a retailer of mezuzahs? You know, somebody selling in the shop mezuzahs. What's the mitzvah about that? He's making it for money and he's earning money by doing that. So what's the great mitzvah? I think you added to that and you said, it's no different than your mitzvah that you're doing every day from 9 to 5, right? Surely any work. Well, what's the difference between somebody who's selling mezuzahs and any business? You're doing it for the money. No real difference. No, agreed.
Some things you do for money are nice and
lovely. Okay, I hear. No, that's a nice thought. It's a nice thought.
But he's facilitating mitzvah.
Facilitating mitzvah.
If he wasn't for him, how would you do the mitzvah? There's nobody to sell you the
mezuzahs.
How would you do the mitzvah then?
Right.
So he's facilitating you.
He's enabling others to do a mitzvah. Okay. He's doing chelik. He's enabling others to do a mitzvah. Rabbi, what do you think about that? Definitely.
If they wouldn't be able to fulfill that mitzvah, it'd be everyone to rise up, but not having mezuzahs or a community might have a sefer Torah.
Okay. Okay. Setting up a minim, yeah.
Is it carefully going through each one and giving them?
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Is there actually a mitzvah in writing a mezuzah, for example?
Very good. Okay, excellent. Very good question. Very, very good. The bialocha, there's a long bialocha here, and it's a fascinating, important concept. Bialocha is mechadash over here, and that really sheds light on the entire sugya. The bialocha says that it's hard to understand that if somebody actually earns money from something, that actually would be exempt and would be considered oisik bar mitzvah potter min hamitzvah. If he's earning money, it could be that he's doing an action of a mitzvah, but surely the fact that he's earning money reduces the level of the mitzvah. The fact that he's earning money for it, that shows that really there's something else happening besides the mitzvah over here. He's earning money for it. So the bialocha says there's actually a difference between the one writing the mezuzah and the ones selling the mezuzah. With regards to the person writing the mezuzah, he says that writing the mezuzah is actually a mitzvah. Uchsaftem, the pasuk says, to write the mezuzah is actually a mitzvah. To write a sefer whilst writing the mezuzah, whilst writing a sefer Torah, when he's writing, he's actually fulfilling a mitzvah. So says the bialocha. There is room for discussion, but that's what the bialocha understands. That the sefer stam, writing, is actually fulfilling a mitzvah, and it doesn't really make a difference if he's earning or not earning money. That's not really so much the point. However, when it comes to the retailers and the old wholesalers and the people selling the mezuzah on, there he says it makes a little bit of a difference. It's true that he's earning money, true, but then it depends genuinely on the person's intention. See, there is people who they'll do anything for money, and he could have sold also, he could have sold anything. He didn't find any other business, so he ended up selling mezuzahs. He said, yeah, the intention is just purely to earn money. It's purely to earn money. He says that there's not much of a mitzvah element in it. It's literally just a parnosa. We don't say for panose, we're not going to say oisik bar mitzvah poter mitzvah. He said, then there's others. There's others who don't look at it that way. They'll also just be selling, but their mindset is a little bit different. They are doing it not purely for the money. They are doing it because they want to enable, very much in your lines, they want to enable others to fulfill a mitzvah. As the Mishnah Berurah's words was that ikir kavonosom is loyle istaker. If it's ikir, the main he wants to, or the Mishnah Berurah over here is, I can actually read now Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Chav Dalet. V'tagem, av shem avichim, although they earn money, v'davke, and only im ikir kavonosom, if the main thought process, the main approach, kedei in order lamtzion, you know, to enable others, limkoi lamtzion, limkoi lemisha tzorich lahem. He wants to make people, he wants to enable people to have tefillin and mezuzas. And that's really what he wants to do. He wants to be marbe kvod shemaim. He wants to increase mitzvahs. He wants to increase for Hashem's commandment. And if that's, yeah, okay, you need to put bread on the table. You know, you need to somehow pay your, you need to pay for your bread and milk. It's not gonna, no. So you need to, he's gonna get money for it. But that's not his main focus. It's not his main focus. His main focus is to be marbe kvod shemaim, to increase kvod shemaim. So if that's his main focus, then although he earns money, he's considered the oisik bar mitzvah. And yes, we're gonna say potter bar mitzvah with regards to the, it depends very much on a person's mindset. But if his main focus exactly is only to earn money, loy miki oisik bar mitzvah is not considered oisik bar mitzvah. Rabbi, I must tell you, this is an absolute eye-opener. This is an absolute mind-opener. This is definitely musadik. I think this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You could do, according to Bialocha, you could be a wholesaler of mezuzahs. And you could either be doing something which is considered the oislik bar mitzvah potter bar mitzvah. You could be considered that once you are engaged in selling mezuzahs, you could be considered oislik bar mitzvah potter bar mitzvah. You're going to be exempt from putting on tefillin. Why? Because you're doing a mitzvah. I'm selling mezuzahs. I'm selling sefer Torah. I'm selling tefillin. I'm oisik my mitzvah. And you could do exactly the identical action. You could be doing exactly the identical deed, and it's considered, no, you're not oisik my mitzvah. Why? Because the other person doing exactly the same thing, he's only doing it for the money. Depends on your mindset. You're doing the same thing, but person number, and the wholesaler number one, he's doing it just purely for the money. He's not considered oisik my mitzvah. The other guy, he's doing it to be ma'abek kvod shemaim. He's not considered oisik bar mitzvah, potter mitzvah. The same thing. He's buying and he's selling it on. The same thing. One is considered a mitzvah, one is not. What's the difference? A person's mindset. Rabbi said this is an unbelievable eye opener. It's an unbelievable eye opener. And this reminds me, I must share with you, Rabbi Isai, a beautiful episode with Elie Lopian, Zeche Tzadik V'Kodesh Levocha. We have Elie Lopian, Zeche Tzadik V'Kodesh Levocha. We all know that he was initially in England, well, initially in Litter, moved to England, and he was Rosh Hashiva, and when he wanted to retire, for his retirement, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. I think he was in his early 70s, retirement. As he ended up in Eretz Yisrael, Chaznish convinced him to go to Kfar Chassidim, Mashkiach in Kfar Chassidim. Little did he know that his most fruitful year were going to be those 20 years that he was in Kfar Chassidim. You think that when 70 you retired, you lived for another 20 years, and he was Marbitz Torah like. And Reb Elia, in those 20 years, he wrote Sforim, Lev Elyoh, he's based on those Shmuzen. And at one point, he never interrupted Seder in Yeshiva. Kfar Chassidim in Yeshiva, Kfar, he never interrupted Seder. There was one occasion, Talmidim report, there was one occasion that he interrupted Seder. In the middle of learning, he interrupted. And it was the following incident. Once, he went to Beis Medrash, he said, Abo Yisai, Choshva, Talmidim, I must interrupt your Seder. And I'll tell you what happened. He said, I went onto a street. He went to Yerushalayim. And as he was walking in Yerushalayim in the early morning, he bumped into two people who were busy, if I'm not mistaken, either cleaning the street or maybe doing tarmac, sorting out the street. They were busy on the street works. I'm not sure they were cleaning or actually works. I'm not quite sure. Two of them. And he recognized them. And he said, I remember you. And both indeed were people, were men, that he had recognized and remembered them, because they were from the same village in Litta. They knew each other from 50-60 years ago in Litta. One of them, however, had completely lost Torah mitzvahs. He'd become a complete, as we call, chiloni. He didn't keep absolutely nothing. He was an Eretz Yisrael in the 90s. He had left Torah Yiddishkeit. His colleague, who came from the same village, he looked like a Fum Yid. He was an Ehrlicher Fum Yid. And then he said, I recognize you. I remember you from 50 years ago. What happened to you? The first person who left Torah mitzvahs, he said the following. He said, I'll tell you, I left later and I came over here. I lost my family during the Second World War. They're all killed. I have no money. I came over here with absolutely nothing. No money, no family, no, absolutely nothing. I couldn't. And over here, all I found to do is I'm working over here in the street, less than the minimum wage. Look what happened to me. I can't keep, I can't do anything. All I'm doing is cleaning the street. It's nothing. I can't keep, I can't keep. Mitch is not, look what happened to me. It's not, nothing. I said, this is terrible. This is terrible. I'm so, it's really sad. He said, yeah, you can't even believe. He says, I can't even tell you how sad it is. I have absolutely nothing. Look, I'm all I end up doing is cleaning the streets. He looked at a second person. Well, how come you kept so strong in Torah mitzvahs? What's your story? He said, I'll tell you. Me too. I actually also lost my family. My wife and children were killed in the war. And I have absolutely no money. But look, Baruch Hashem. Hashem enabled me to come to Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, I'm able to come to Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem enabled me actually to be able to... I'm in a position that I help Yidden go to Beis Medrash and I support Yidden learning Torah. He said, well, how is that? He said, yeah, if I wouldn't clean the streets, if I wouldn't work on the streets, I wouldn't support the streets, people wouldn't be able to go to Beis Medrash. It would be full of mud. Would be unable to access the Beis Medrash. So thanks to me, Baruch Shem, I'm coming with that. So I'm just enabled to support Yidden to learn Torah. And I'm able to make Yidden go to Beis Medrash and to learn Torah. Baruch Hashem, look, on a beautiful position I got over here. It's true that it's bare minimum wage, probably below minimum wage. But Baruch Hashem, I've got a very, very beautiful job to have over here. And that's not only, that's not stam elita, that's an Eretz Yisrael. I'm able to provide Yidden, to support Yidden to learn Torah. And this is Baruch Hashem. I'm so grateful to Rebbe Hashem. Every day I thank Hashem that I can help and support Yidden learning Torah. This is what he said. He said, Baruch Hebelio Piani said he was absolutely away from his palace. And the only time that he interrupted Seder, so they say in Kfar Chassidim, when he was over 20, 30 years, he was in Kfar Chassidim, was when he, after that mass, he went straight back to Yeshiva Kfar Chassidim, he banged on the beamer and he said, Rebbe, I want to show you. These two people, they're doing exactly the same thing. Well, they're both cleaning the streets and working on the streets. They're both doing exactly the same, but one is doing a Maaseh Shtus Ba'alma. He's just doing some sort of, just a panosa. He's just doing a panosa. It's not much to it. It's bearing me away. The other one, but every time he's using the broom or using the shovel or whatever it is, every single time, so is Reb Elia, every time he's doing it, he's actually fulfilling a mitzvah. He's actually fulfilling a mitzvah. And it all depends on a person's mindset. This is what Reb Elia said. It all depends on a person's mindset. All depends. You can do exactly the same thing. Depends on the mindset. This is exactly what the Bialoch is teaching us over here. And that's Tage Tageyem. Depends what you're doing it for. What do you mean? And the emissary of Shimshon Shabbat Phil also speaks about it. That a person can be doing most of our businesses is also, if you think about it, whatever your business is, whatever your business is, you could all have two mindsets. You're doing it just purely for the parnasa, or you're doing it because you want to support, you want to help Eden doing some, achieving something. And if you're doing it with the right mindset, everything becomes a mitzvah. Everything becomes a mitzvah. This is what Shimshon says of Elia, and it's really very, very much based on the Shulchan Aruch that we're seeing now. Tage Tageyem. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. Avalim ikke kavanosum rak leistake loy miki oisik ba mitzvah. But if the main intention is to be, to earning money, it's not considered oisik ba mitzvah. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kotten Chav Hei. V'tage tageyem ha-koinim min ha-koinim limkor al-yad limkor al-yad al-yad. So tage tageyem, as we explained, this is somebody who buys off the buyers to sell onto individuals. So all those are considered oisik b'mitzvah, peltem in ha-mitzvah. Sifkot n'chavar v'mishneh bura, tzrichim, bottom line, kegoin, shenizdam en loy koine, sheroi tzelik noy stam. So the example of your given is, if somebody comes and he wants to buy some Sefer Torah or mezuzahs, and somebody comes and he says, please, can you give me one? I need the Sefer Torah right now. And the urgency is because the person buying, he needs to go now off to, he's going back home to Bangladesh. And he knows in Bangladesh he won't be able to get, probably nowadays you probably can, But he wants to go back. He's going there. The plane is leaving in 20 minutes and he needs to, you know, can you give me a mezuzah right now? He needs to have it now. And he can't wait because he's going to miss the boat and the plane if he waits. And the sofer then can fulfill the mitzvah that is coming to his hands. So in this position now, that really the sofer or the seller, he really, his time had come now to either put on his own tefillin or to daven, say Shema tefillin. But if that person approached him and said, please give me a mezuzah, I need a mezuzah because I'm going back to Bangladesh right now. So if you know that, if you're going to start writing a mezuzah now, you won't be able to put on tefillin yourself. You won't be able to say Shema tefillin. But if you are going to put on your own tefillin, so then you won't be able to sell it to him because he's going to be gone to Bangladesh already. So you can either, you have to choose. So here we're saying again, the halacha is, oisik ma mitzvah, potom in a mitzvah. Yes, write the mezuzah, and you're going to be considered oisik ma mitzvah, and that's going to exempt you from your own mitzvah. Al ken mutalich toiv, therefore you're allowed to write velim kol hazeh, to sell to him afal pishal edei zeh, although because of that yavo zman hamitzvah, the time of shema and tefillah will be delayed and you won't be able to fulfill your own mitzvah. Oz pturin sifkot nchov zayin mayre shekvah hischelich toiv kodim shegi azman kriya shema. This is if he started writing the mezuzah already. But if you haven't started writing, the halacha won't be only if you, once you've started writing the mezuzah. You started writing, you wrote the first letter, and then a person approached you. Because, says the halacha, but if the time has come to say Shema, you're not really allowed to start writing mezuzah. K'mo shekosav simenayim beis. Chin kosav amogen avoham. Okay, lefi ma shetziyarnu mitchila b'shem alavush, ha'koin etzorich lave b'yom b'shore. But if, he said, truthfully says the Mishnah Berurah, if the person has come now and he said he needs to leave right now, v'yevshel lehamtin ha'cha sofei kaim kiyah Shema v'tfilah. If actually, so truthfully says the Mishnah Berurah, if somebody comes and he says that, please write to me a mezuzah from scratch right now. Oh, I'm traveling soon off abroad, then says the Bialach, actually, the Kula Alma Mutah Asif Elasu Melachtavu, Emu Meshash Yishar Lo Zman Likros, Miuchal Likro Pasha Achas Koyde Mikro. He says that if truthfully somebody actually comes and he says, please give me Zuzah now, I'm going off, and you haven't even started, says the Bialach, actually, you can actually start writing. Halach Lemais, the Mishnah says, actually, you can start writing if the person otherwise won't be able to have a mezuzah at all. Right, Sifkot Nchofchest, an important Mishnah Berurah, going back to the earlier concept that we mentioned, the Chola Oisek. For Dafka Oisek B'mitzvah, this is only if it's Oisek B'mitzvah, he busy himself B'mitzvah, could go in such as B'shoshu Loivesh Atfinin, when he's putting on the tefillin, or Oisek B'tikune Aveda, or similarly also when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, when he busies himself with the Aveda, with the lost property, could in a shot Chola Tzorka, he prepares it, he sorts it out, or the Ashiva Lebalo is actually busy returning it to the owner, which we know is a mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda. For Chol Chagav, anything similar to that. Aval B'shoshu Mekayim Mitzvah. But the time they're just actually fulfilling a mitzvah, could go into Shekvah, Lovush Tefillin, when you're actually wearing the tefillin, not putting it on, when you're wearing the tefillin, that's a pretty much a passive act, isn't it? No? It's pretty much passive. Then, Oshoymer Avedo, you're just looking after the lost object in your back garden. Shumunachas kvar betevoset, it's already put in the box. Afal peshumikai mitzvah, yes, you are fulfilling a mitzvah. And then you oisek per mitzvah, this is the run. But you're not busy with a mitzvah. Loi miftem a mitzvah achers, that would not exempt you from another mitzvah. So this, Rabbi Isa, is a very important run. It's a run quote in Mishnah Berurah. That we only say the halacha of oisek per mitzvah potel a mitzvah, when you're actually busy with that mitzvah. Can you think of another example that we will not say oisik mitzvah potem in a mitzvah? When won't we say it? Because you're not busy with that mitzvah, you're just fulfilling a mitzvah without being busy with it. So, yeah. That's right, you're probably... I don't know actually, Pius. I don't know, because Pius, there's no... Pius is an interesting one. Rabbi, so what do you think about Pius?
It's a
love. Right. It's a laugh. You don't have to cut. You don't have to cut. We don't say oisik mitzvah potel mitzvah when it comes to a laugh. For instance, by not eating teifa, for instance, we don't say oisik mitzvah potel mitzvah because it's only by positive mitzvah that we say if you're doing the mitzvah, then exempt you from another mitzvah. But by not doing an aveira, by not doing a laugh, we don't say oisik mitzvah potel mitzvah. That makes sense? Right, so that's what Bialach says. Hashavas Aveda is two levels. If you're actually busy fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, you're returning the object, you're looking after the object physically, then, oisek mitzvah, potter mitzvah, you don't have to put on tefillin. But, if it's just the object in the back garden, in the garage, you're looking after an object, you're not doing anything about it, it's very passive. If it's passive, we don't say oisek mitzvah, potter mitzvah. Yeah. Can you elaborate, please? Yeah, yeshiva sukkah. So therefore, you're saying that it's oisik mitzvah or not? Will oisik mitzvah apply?
No.
It will not apply. Rabbi, so what do you think about this? It's very interesting shaila that. Very interesting shaila. Somebody who is sitting in a sukkah, is he exempt from putting on tefillin? Because oisik bar mitzvah potter min mitzvah. Oh, Very, very interesting. Came to do. Very, very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. The whole idea is that it's a normal living. So arguably, Osing Mitzvah won't apply. Very interesting. Yeah. Say that again, I didn't get that.
You can't say, I can't make Philip because at least you can say Krishna.
Right.
Or,
yeah. Right, that's very good. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Okay, so this is the concept of Osim mitzvah potter bin a mitzvah. Yeah, Osim mitzvah potter bin a mitzvah. Right, which has many, many applications, halacha lemaisa. You know, halacha lemaisa, we find that mamash, somebody is busy looking after a choyle. Or somebody is busy, what do you think about that, Rabbi Yisrael? Somebody is busy looking after Cholet. Somebody's got an old parent or old grandparent. He's looking after, busy, you know, they need to be looked after. And you're busy. And because you're busy, it's just Zman of Mincha is coming. Zman of Zman Kirshma, Shachis, or whatever it may be. Will you say, Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah? You're looking after an elderly, dependent person. Will you say, Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah? Will that exempt you from Shema Shmanesa, Tfilah, whatever it may be?
No, you could say, you're living with them, you could still say it, but you're there.
Right. Right, so you say, it's a very good, so what you're saying is beautiful. So, you know, if it's a case...
For a few minutes, you can just say...
Very good. That's precisely what the Gemara says, you're quite right. Im yochol asa shteyan, if it's possible to do both, if the person is mobile enough, you can just say, listen, I'll be back in 5 minutes, and you can just leave them and come back, say, daven and come back. But if the person is too dependent, and it's not yochel lekayim shneim, it's not possible to do both, i.e. mitzvah and looking after them, if it's not possible to do both, if you really, they're really dependent, and you have to look after them, then we're actually going to say, oh, it's a mitzvah, potter and a mitzvah. You definitely will say that. Yeah?
Does it depend on if the other person is like a parent, for example?
It doesn't really make a difference. It doesn't, because either way... Very good. You're quite right. Kibbutz Av Va'Em is going to be a prime example of Oisik Mitzvah Potter and a Mitzvah. However, do you think that you fulfill a Mitzvah by looking after somebody who is not your parent? Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah, at very least doing the Mitzvah of Velach to Bedrochov, the Mitzvah of Chesed, you're definitely doing countless Mitzvah by doing so. And surely the rule of Oisik Bar Mitzvah Potter and a Mitzvah will apply in that case as well. Yeah. Could be. Because Levi's and Mace has got special chashivas. Yeah, special chashivas. But it's not also Oisim Mitzvah will still apply. It's just that Levi's and Mace has got certain rules. Right. Okay, so just to recap what we learned tonight, we spoke about the rule of Kois v'tfilin mezuzas, the Hem v'tagem v'tagim tagem, they're considered Oisim v'mecha shemaim, the apot from Kirashma and Tfilah, and the Ramah says, even Kirashma Tfilah, if necessary. We learned that the Bialocha differentiates between the Kois v'm themselves, that is a mitzvah per se. As the Mishneh Berurah says, "Medeksev uchsaftom." That is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in its own. Therefore, it doesn't really matter what your intention is. Even if you're earning money, you're going to be oisik mitzvah potter in a mitzvah. You're going to be exempt from mitzvah. However, when it comes to tagayim and the tagayim, then it depends on a person's kavana. If a person's kavana is to do b'mar be'kvod shemaim, you're considered oisik mitzvah potter in a mitzvah. However, if your main intention is to earn money, you're not considered oisik mitzvah potter in a mitzvah. We learned also that this entire rule applies only if it's not shaykh to do both. If, however, it's possible to do both mitzvah, the mitzvah you're busy with, and the other mitzvah is coming along, if it's possible to do both mitzvahs, then you have to do both. We don't say oisik mitzvah potter in a mitzvah. If you are able to do both mitzvahs, you must do both mitzvahs. But if it clashes, then we will say, oisik ma mitzvah, somebody's busy with the mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah is exempt from the second mitzvah that's coming along. We also learned the topic of that this rule only applies if you are literally oisik ma mitzvah, you have to physically be busy with the mitzvah. If you're just fulfilling a mitzvah passively, we won't say oisik mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah, such as wearing tefillin as opposed to putting on tefillin. If you're just wearing tefillin, we don't say exempt from other mitzvahs. Imagine that. Somebody who's wearing tefillin, just wearing tefillin would be exempt from davening. He's wearing tefillin, right? Or it's a mitzvah, or a mitzvah. So obviously, if something is passive, just putting on, while they're putting on tefillin, you're exempt. But once they're worn, of course, we are not going to say oisim mitzvah potan mitzvah. Similarly, also tzitzis, and any mitzvah which is completely passive, we won't say oisim mitzvah potan mitzvah. And we shall carry on with Shem Vesif test tomorrow.